Hello, everybody. This is Andy Clodfilter.
And this is Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to 90s Court. Now, you might be asking yourself, like, what is 90s Court? How did I stumble upon this? I just clicked a button and all of a sudden these voices started coming out of my phone like some sort of sorcery. What is it? Lisa, why don't you tell them what they're doing right now? What are they listening to?
You are not watching TV because there's no visual.
Okay, step
you
one.
You're not walking in the park because process. You're sitting down.
We're doing process of elimination.
You might be walking at the park okay. If you are. Go home.
You need to go home. Unless,
you need to
I
go
mean,
home.
You're probably fine. Watching TV. You're not walking in the park. So what else could they be doing? Aren't those the two things?
I think those are the only two things currently available to humankind.
Are we inventing a new thing?
The thing that you're doing is listening to a dope-ass podcast.
What?
And this podcast is a thing where two people talk and we say, hey, I like this thing from the 90s. And the other person says, hey, I like this thing from the 90s. And we say, which one's better?
Do they fight afterwards or what happens?
We wrestle.
Oh.
We wrestle.
Well, like, that's probably... We're practicing social distancing, so...
Verbally
like
wrestle.
Our standard wrestling practices that you guys don't normally get to see or hear on the podcast, we're going to be foregoing that until the foreseeable future.
I never even thought about how we already had a leg up on social distancing because a lot of podcasters actually live...
I know.
Near one another.
It is great because they're like... Person. There are people on podcasts right now trying to figure out what we're doing right now.
But... Bitch, we've been doing this. This is episode 30. We've been doing this for 16 years.
Back in
30 like, episodes.
Young whippersnappers don't know how to use a fucking like remote calling. All people
man,
be
we got
still
this on lock.
People be Skyping, sounding like our episode one.
Or was it episode two, which we call Zippergate, in which my
Zippergate.
Like chewed on the microphone.
And here's
the
thing that the thing that sucks too is episode two is a really good episode, but just that goddamn zipper, like constantly, like. And this thing is, I'm thinking it's like a me thing. I'm like, oh, I'm just worrying about it. But I've had so many people say like, there's just some like weird noise the whole time. I was like, yeah, that was fucking Lisa, her zipper.
I was just nomming on the headphone thing the entire time. But so how you doing, man? How you doing? How are things in Illinois?
Well, just so everybody's at least kept up to date, so we officially, I think on Saturday, got the thing we're supposed to stay at home, which, I mean, honestly isn't really a big change to me. It's mainly to other people, which, so it's actually kind of neat, like, when you go out for groceries. I went out for groceries, like, I went to pick up food for my parents to bring it to them yesterday, and we went out there, and it was just, like... As weird as it is and as, like, eerie as it is, it's actually kind of nice, like, to be in the middle of, at least, I'm in a small town... Middle of a small town and like have like 10 seconds of like absolute silence in the middle of town where like there's people at all the time normally. So it's been
interesting
to say the least. So I don't know. I mean, everything's been pretty cool. We just had a big day yesterday. Lisa and I like pulled a double header. Like,
so awesome.
We both had like some kind of mad like energy. So we like polished off the rest of our Patreon exclusive Y2 Court episode. You can check us out on patreon.com/90sCourt. And then after that, we're like, well, I still got all this energy and need something to do. So we ended up did a live video feed for Instagram on there. I think it might be up there for like another hour, and then I think it's going to go away forever. But
yeah.
We just riffed on Pokemon for literally an hour until the video kicked us off and said no more.
They're like, you guys need to shut up. We said, yeah, you're probably right.
And Instagram needs more pictures of boobs and less pictures of you guys talking about Pokemon. So
I guess. Yeah. I mean, it's a very weird time. So the internet needs boobs. Give them the boobs. Someone else's boobs.
How about
please,
you, Lisa?
So.
What's been going on in your world in the past like, 24 hours since I spoke with you?
So one of my side gigs is when I'm not chasing tornadoes or podcasting, I am a seamstress. And there's been a huge call for people to make the face masks. So I've been doing that for... as much as I can and like burning through all my fabric supplies and stuff like that. But it's a worthy cause. So I'm
just tearing up blankets.
just
like has no sheets
taking the
for
shirt
her bed.
Off my son. Like the doctor's needed.
Like, sorry. Give this is more important.
Yeah. So it's that's what I've been doing. But
as weird as it sounds, it's not a bad call. I could literally just like take some of my old shirts that don't fit me and just be like, here you go.
Yeah, I think for people who are out and about, just like fucking take a shirt and wrap it around your face twice and you're like, I did it. I'm safer.
I'm safer
now than I was 20 seconds ago. You'll be all right. Yeah. But that's it for me.
Yeah. Anyway, so hey, everybody. Again, we're glad you're here. I know things have been crazy. And honestly, like I can tell you this is that doing this for me and probably Lisa as well is as important for us to get our heads off of everything as it is for you guys to listen, is hopefully, you know, having a distraction in that way. So we thank you guys for listening so that we still are motivated to come out here and bring content to you guys every week. So
hell yeah. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Well, slap my face and call me Sally. Or don't. Oh, be kind.
I'm not going to do that. That'd be weird if I... This is the time to be kind. Normally, you can hit Lisa, but not now because there's too much going on.
I'm drawing a line, guys. This is it.
Okay.
I have a thing. I know I've talked to you about it. I don't think I covered it exclusively yet in the show.
Okay.
But it is... I'm covering 2XL. I've not covered 2XL.
The size?
Properly. No, 2XL, the robot from...
Oh, you know what? You brought it up one time and were like really excited about it. And then I don't think you ever ended up bringing on the show.
Nope. So I'm doing it now, baby. And you watch me go back and be like, oh, shit, I definitely talked about this before. Yep. But I don't remember any of the things that I wrote down. Like, they were all new to me, so it must be new now, unless my brain is completely just turned into mashed potatoes, which is very likely given the current
circumstances. Let me let everybody know, I just typed in 2XL on Google. The first thing, 2XL, relentlessly clean disinfecting wipes, apparently is the first thing. Obviously, they're making bank right now. The second one is a size. The third result is a goddamn robot. So I think we're on the robot front.
We're on the robot. So I am talking about 2XL, and that was a toy robot that was originally introduced in 78 up until 1981 by Mego Corporation, MEGO, but then was re-released by Tiger Electronics in 1992 to 1995. Yeah. And I would say 2XL was a sassy, smart-ass kind of robot who had his own personality, quote-unquote, and he had plenty of jokes that kind of, like, tricked you into learning, which is how every kid learned in the 90s. Yeah, you have to
learn.
You were
going to say into a false sense of security, and then he killed you in your sleep.
I would gladly take that now.
Just end it. Get it over with.
Just end it now, 2XL. So, like everybody does, obviously, 2XL... has a tape player in his stomach. Everybody has that.
Everyone has that. So
it's so normal.
Which is cool because people are like, I still have this. It's kind of like at this point, the tape player in everyone's stomach now has become kind of like, what's the thing that always bursts in people's stomachs that they have?
Appendix.
Appendix. It's like the appendix. There once was a purpose, and no one has cassettes anymore, so it's just this worthless appendage on us. That was a very long branch off to be talking about fake tape players that people have in their stomachs.
It's so, you got to do what you got to do. Yeah. When it hits you, it hits you. So the 70 to 80 version, the original 2XL had an 8-track tape. But the newer one, because it was in the 90s, had a cassette tape player. And that was actually pretty cool because cassette tapes hold twice as much, like they can hold twice as long of a tape as an 8-track. And so that was cool because then they could have 2XL talk for way fucking longer.
Yeah.
And so apparently the inventor of 2XL was a guy named Michael J. Freeman, who was an inventor and a PhD. And not only did Michael Freeman... invent this, he was also the voice for the robot. Yeah, which is crazy. What, you look like you were gonna say something. You look like you have something to say.
It was because when you said Michael J. And I immediately was like,
oh Fox.
No way Michael J. Fox was tied up in this. And so I just like, that's why. And I was like, you kept going. I was like, all right, I guess I'll let it go.
No MJ Fox, no MJFA.
There is an MJF, just not the Fox kind.
Not the Fox. So he voiced both versions, the original and the new one by Tiger. This was his thing. He did it. And if you have never seen 2XL, he's a little gray robot guy with a black face and red dots for eyes and a red dot for a mouth. And all that shit lights up whenever he's talking shit to you. And so the cool thing about the tape 2XL version, and this is... for people who know what they're talking about, this is like, yeah. And for me, it's like, what did you just say? The 2XL used all 4 tracks of the tape. So there's one for the left and right channel, and then there are 2 sides. And the tape player could play any of the 4 parallel tracks based on which button the user pressed.
Oh,
so
no way.
I was like, in 2020, I don't know what you're saying to me. It sounds real, and it sounds good, but okay. So The buttons at the bottom, by the way, there were four buttons at the bottom, which were yes, no, true, false. And then each of those buttons were also 1 through 4. And then the last three buttons were also assigned to ABC. So there were lots of different options for you to be able to answer. So he would ask you a question like, I don't know, like, what is the fastest land animal? And he'd go like, A, bird. B, porcupine.
This feels like a bad
C,
quiz.
Cheetah. Or D, turds. You know, it was okay. A really bad quiz. And then, and that was how you would learn.
I pick birds.
I pick birds as the fastest land animal.
All birds.
Birds.
Their composite to be faster than a cheetah.
I wanted to go over very quickly some of the 2XL tapes that were released for him. I don't remember which ones I had. I'm pretty sure I had World of Animals, which was one of them, mm-hmm. Fun and Games, Trivia Time, Incredible Sports Feats, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Hell yeah.
Power Rangers.
Fuck yes.
Oceans of Fun. Batman the Sizzling Scheme.
What?
Say Hello to Famous Folks. And my favorite, which I wish I knew anything about, but I was probably too young, Tales from the Crypt Keeper, If Wishes Were Hornets.
Wow.
If Wishes Were Hornets. I don't.
What would happen, 2XL? What would happen if they were hornets?
If wishes were hornets, then everyone would, like, all birthday parties would be massacres.
Everybody. Oh my God, I just pictured, like, this kid's like, I wish one day my mom and dad would get back together. Ah! And just fucking hornets fly everywhere.
The cake just explodes. Just, and 2XL's in the corner like, my job is done. Like,
that would be a great horror
2XL,
movie.
2XL, you're a fucking monster.
Fucking enough with the hornets. Jesus.
So Michael J. Freeman, the inventor, like I said, also voiced them. And it was so good to get to find a video clip of someone with a working 2XL because it reminded me of how weird the way he spoke was. So he would say, it's important to learn, but also important to have fun. Like the way
it's good to know that they've really improved that technology where robot things don't sound weird anymore.
But it was someone recording it. It's like, this is some guy talking. This wasn't a robot voice. This is just some guy
talking.
Oh,
so he was intentionally being robotic on purpose.
I suppose, but the way he said important.
How do I love thee?
Let me count the important ways.
Baby.
Baby. So he would reward your right answers with jokes, which is like, mm-hmm. That's a good, you know, carrot stick, I guess, to go after. But one of the jokes he told in the video clip I watched was, by the way, did you hear about the cannibal kid that got expelled from school? He got caught buttering up the teacher.
Oh, no.
Hey, what the fuck, 2XL?
2XL?
Tiger Electronics, these were kids. These were kids. And you're talking about a child that's trying to prepare to eat his teacher.
I have a joke. Congratulations. Here is a joke. How much arsenic did I put in your breakfast? Excuse me? It's like,
so
just
much.
Kidding. Ha, 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 ha. Or am I?
I gave you that good pine salt orange juice.
Just.
You love it.
Do you?
I hate it.
Do you think you would mistake Drano for milk? No,
holy
absolutely
shit.
Not. You already did.
Anyway, what is the fastest land animal?
Can I read something I'm reading on this fucking Wikipedia
page? Yeah,
go ahead. Apparently, the toy's success was also the basis, basically based on the fact that there was a game show called Pick Your Brain, hosted by Mark Summers.
Mark Summers.
So he served as the assistant of Mark Summers on that. So, like, that's
2XL
part of the reason.
Was?
Yeah.
Interesting.
He also was the spokes robot. That's right, because people need spokes robots.
Yeah.
Amongst other spokes things. For
yes.
Michael Jordan and his charitable foundation in 92 and 93, and appeared in multiple PSAs with Michael Jordan.
Sure. 90s? Sure. What is wrong with you?
No.
The 2000s and definitely the 2020s are not off to a great start, but like, what?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well,
whatever.
Hey.
I love the 90s. That's 2XL.
I love the 90s.
He was just like, and here's the thing, if you had it, you probably love the shit out of your 2XL. Like, I loved mine. I wore that thing out, and then I later learned that you could just play music cassettes, like sure. music tapes, and he would light up to the music.
And just jam
out. I loved it, yeah. But if you had a 2XL, you know how fun that was. I don't remember any of my tapes, but there's 2XL.
I think at some point I need to talk about, like, Tiger made so much cool stuff, like the most famous thing being the handheld games, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Those were, like, honestly, I forget how many of those I had before, like, you know, Game Boy was really a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing that I'd like to talk to you all about. So let me take you back to even as late as 1997.
Dang.
Or early 1998. Imagine up until that point when you desired to eat food that was soft and squishy and had a lot of probiotics in it. Like, you had to eat it out of a fucking cup like some sort of fucking monster.
This is true. So
not only did you have to have, like, carry around this, oh my God, it's just this huge little thing, this cup. Oh my God, what a pain in the ass having to carry this cup around. What a piece of shit. But then, like, you had to have a spoon? A spoon? Who has spoons?
Am I in a fucking diner right now?
Yeah, I don't just have spoons to carry around. So, like, that was everyone's life since, like, 500 BC when yogurt was invented until early 1998. Like, people were just fucking struggling their entire lives figuring out how to eat yogurt when they're out on the go. And, I mean, I don't know about you, Lisa, but I got places to be. I mean, not now, not anymore, but I did.
Not currently.
Let's put it this way. The sales on this product have probably gone down significantly with people not quite as on the go. And you might be thinking, like, wait, didn't you say this was yogurt? Didn't you say that it was on the go? That's right. They fucking slammed together. That's why they invented fucking go-gurt.
The best portmanteau. By the way, real quick, I was at Costco last week kind of like panic getting some last minute stuff for the kids. Mm-hmm. I got a fucking box of go-gurts for the kids. That's how it's going. It's like, I'm going to go home.
She's going to go home. You can eat this in the car on the way home, but if you eat them inside while we're there, a fucking ghost will pop out and slice your throat. Like, you're not allowed to eat go-gurt at home. That's ho-gurt.
I literally gave each kid a go-gurt after dinner to be like, shut the fuck up. Here's some yogurt.
This is my STFU juice. But yeah, like, so here's the thing. Like, so they basically, like, it was a genius idea, basically, was that it was like a fun and new way of eating yogurt that just, like, you squeeze this stuff into your mouth in a way that is a totally, genuinely, like, from, like, a tactile or, like, feeling way is a totally different mouth experience than using a spoon and putting it into your mouth. Because
it's true. It is true.
That being said, like, fucking Yoplait just, like, made it rain with this because they are selling less yogurt per size. Like, because, I mean, there's way less yogurt in a go-gurt than there is in a normal cup of yogurt,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Quite a bit, yeah.
In addition to that, they're probably charging the same, if not more, than a standard cup of yogurt, I would expect, per go-gurt. Maybe not.
I don't. Well, I guess a lot of the yogurts I buy are like three and a half. So I assume that Yoplait, especially the lower end stuff, is probably like the lower end. I mean, directed more to kids, is probably cheaper.
Because they also in addition to making them portable, they basically use it as a way of like, hey, this is for kids. Automatically, we're putting more kids' flavors, more, you know, a lot of different things where it's like, this isn't supposed to be like super healthy, good for you yogurt. This is just like, you just need some fucking calories, all right? You need to get some fucking calories in your tum-tum and make your kids shut the fuck up. So we're going to get you like really you fruity. And then we're going to put like fucking Shrek on there or like, you know, Power Rangers or whatever the fuck. Like, just they can put like cartoon characters and all kinds of stuff on there. Like, I said Shrek first because that was the first thing I saw of the pictures was that.
But they also have like, don't go-gurts also have like the question and answer and like jokes or something?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they do have
trivia?
That too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so amongst other things, so a little bit of background. So Stephen Kaufman from Green Bay, Wisconsin. That's right. Not too far from here. Although they do have a football team. I'm not going to get into that because there are probably Packers fans out there. I'm a Bears fan. Sorry. He was a food scientist from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Jim McGuire, a research and development technician. They apparently just came up with the invention while they were working for General Mills in the late 80s.
Okay. Which,
so, I mean, like, what happened between the late 80s and 98, guys? Like, how much fucking R&D did you need on this before you could bust it out in 98, right? Like,
Hmm. 17 years later, yogurt.
Yeah.
Ah, fuck, no, that's still in a cup, son of a bitch.
And here's how they figured it out. And now that they're saying this, it actually makes perfect sense because they figured it out after their Kaufman was browsing through a women's magazine, which first off, like, what were you doing? What were you doing, Kaufman? Were there boobs in there? And he saw shampoo samples, sample inserts. Because, like, you remember, like, they'd have, like, these little, like, thin things that almost look like a ketchup packet, kind of.
Yes.
So it was like that.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that.
And the original idea was based off of frozen ice pops, which I will say, frozen Go-Gurt is bomb as fuck. Just FYI.
Yeah.
God, I miss pudding pops. Like, we need to talk about that at some point. I don't know. I think that might have come out in the 80s, but those were good
pudding
as hell.
Pudding pops?
Pudding pops. Fucking, like, Jell-O pudding pops. The frozen ones.
Oh, my gosh.
Right?
That just came to birth. Like the, oh my gosh.
Yeah, unfortunately that was a heavily Bill Cosby influenced product, but we won't get into that.
We don't have to talk about spokespeople. It's just the product. Yes, but go ahead.
So the original concept of yogurt to be firm so that the tube would stand straight up like an ice pop. But when that didn't work out, they just decided towards creamy yogurt. They're like, ah, fuck it. Well, like they were thinking about like making it like so it'd go up, but they were like, nah, never mind. The initial idea originally faced opposition by General Mills. Kaufman used hotel shampoo pouches as an inspiration to create a prototype of Go-Gurt, which he made himself on a personal care product pouching machine he rented to convince General Mills it was a worthwhile idea. So much later, of course, it's actually currently often is featured as a side thing for Happy Meals in from McDonald's as well.
They are. You're right. They are. Yeah.
So just a couple facts. So outside of the U.S., Go-Gurt is sold as Yoplait tubes in Canada and as Froobs, F-R-U-B-E-S. Yes, Froobs.
Sorry. Oh, U-B-E-S. I thought you said F-R-E-W.
So gross. In United Kingdom... In Japan, it's as Yoguruto.
Yoguruto.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And I think there's some other ones. Let me see. There's another brand available in Australia known as Yoplait Smackers, aimed at young girls.
Okay.
I won't go over all the flavors, but I just wanted to bring this up because I told Lisa I had this quiz prepared for her, and then, like, just before the show, I realized that, like, when you clicked on an answer, it didn't tell you if it was right, so you had to answer 50 questions and hit submit before it would tell you the right answers. So I was like, that seems a little long. I think I'll spare everyone and just talk about fucking Go-Gurt instead. So,
hell yeah, Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt!
It was the so end. Good. I love Go-Gurt.
I do, too.
They're good if you freeze them a little bit, but everything's good if you freeze it a little bit.
It's one of those things too. It's kind of like, it's such a novel thing because it's like, I don't really eat yogurt that much, like, anyways, and like when Go-Gurt is around, I will absolutely grab one and eat it because it's such an easy, quick thing to just pound, you know.
The kids love it because it's such a novel thing to the, I will say, like, I gave it to my daughter Rosemary, who just turned 2 a couple weeks ago.
Congratulations.
And I think it may have been her first Go-Gurt, and she was like, I gave her strawberry one. She was, yeah, I gave her one. She was like, and then, like, she did like 5 or 6 times in a row. I was like, bitch, I know yogurt is amazing. Like,
you don't need to fucking tell me that yogurt's good. Good Lord, grow up.
Yeah.
You're 2 now. You got responsibilities.
Get a job. Stay home. Get a job.
Yeah. So Go-Gurt, it's good. The end.
I love it.
So I did want to touch on real quick before we go to break. As I said, we briefly touched on it last time, but we did want to give our quick shout outs again to a few of our Patreon members. Once again to Preston, one of our ride or dies, who is
hell
fucking
yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, dude, he's the best.
always game, always comments on stuff on our social media. He's super awesome, and we love you, bud. And of course, Afton, who is also super active on our social media,
Thank you, Afton, who is
from nearby me, not too far away from where we are. And she has been a fan of not only this show, but I think she also was a fan of Mary and Andy Aren't Good at This before we started this show. So
OG.
Appreciate you following us and most importantly for being a patron. And I hope you've enjoyed the extra bonus content. We love you guys very much. So what does thou say about us taking a break?
I would love to take a break and then we'll come back, get into some results, and court case this shit up.
Yeah, get into those results.
All right. So, those results. Oh, they're brutal.
They're rough. All right.
That's all good. All right. Well, we'll see you guys in a second.
Peace all out.
Right. Bye. What is up? Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Here we go. Part two. Poll results for me and you.
Oh, goodness. Everyone,
guys,
you're here? Hello?
You dudes. All my dudes. Mm-hmm. Listen. Episode 29. Did we make you cry? Because the court cases. What are you doing?
Sorry.
What are you doing?
I was playing a character that had just woken up from a nap and was alarmed by everything, and you were just like, fuck that, I'm going to keep going. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll just let her keep going.
I don't know. I just thought you were being a scared
None of my bits ever are based on anything. They're just out of nowhere. Just things I decided to do.
I'm going to have to remember that. I'm always looking for a ref. There is not one.
No, there's not. It's Andy. Like, what is Andy doing right now? Is this in reference to something? Just remember, it's not. It's nothing. Nothing ever. All right. Yeah. Poll results. What's up?
How'd
that go? Did things go well or
great.
What happened?
Not great. I would say, so it was, Homeward Bound versus Free Willy. You guys straight up, 74-26 on Facebook, 75-25 on Twitter for Homeward Bound. No surprise.
Facebook gave you a little bit more credit. A little more credit.
1%. 1% more.
It's check my note at the end after the poll. Woof. Which was double entendre because one of them had dogs in it. And one of them had a horrifying hell beast from the deep.
I'm not worried about it because Keiko was kind of he's a broken animal. And you've got these beautiful dogs that everyone can relate to. No one can relate to a fucking orca.
The fucking Willy whine. That is still stuck in my soul forever now, just knowing what it sounds
so
like
perfect.
When a whale is afraid.
Yeah, or at least I don't know if that's an actual
horny.
Real sound, and I don't actually want to know at this point. I feel pretty good. I feel bliss and ignorance there. So, thank you guys for voting, supporting,
thanks.
Listening to the show if you did.
Yeah.
Obviously Homeward Bound is way better than Free Willy. So thank
and
you
yeah,
for
yeah, you say if you listen to the show, I just have to say this is it's just been like the past several weeks or whatever, listens have just been through the roof and we appreciate everyone. If you've told any friends about this, if you listen regularly, if you don't listen just because, this one sounds interesting, just listen regardless, because a lot of the times the least popular things that we cover sometimes are the funniest because it's so much easier to rip on them a lot more.
It's true.
So anyways, but one moment. What is...
Is it an email from your gym telling you about how they're handling the COVID-19 outbreak?
Hold on. Let me see. So Planet Fitness, let's see. Oh, they're closing down. Well, what's this part at the bottom? It doesn't have an unsubscribe button. Instead, it just says, oh my God, something just came across my desk. So anyways, Planet Fitness came in the clutch. They knew I was needing a court case apparently and sent this
and
along.
And guess what? They're doing nothing to help with the outbreak.
Nothing to help with the outbreak. Like, that'd be great if an email just came out and said hey, we know there's an outbreak out there and we just want you to know that we're doing nothing about it.
Absolutely nothing has changed on our end.
Yeah, everybody else is like, we're doing the most. And they're like, no, we're still billing you for your fucking stuff while you're out. Like, I got a bill for $10 or whatever from them. So that's a weird jab at them. Like, we just jokingly brought up Planet Fitness. I ended up making a jab at them. My bad.
Take that. I'm sure they're great.
But they did provide this for me, which is interesting. So we have a court case. It looks like these court cases are going to be based on movies that featured actors that were not actors.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I would say maybe both times to their detriment. Yep. So we are bringing you a hot court case of Kazam featuring Shaquille O'Neal versus Spice World featuring the Spice Girls.
Ugh.
And if only you can imagine, I will be covering Kazam and not goddamn Spice World.
I was like, I want to cover Spice World. And then as soon as I signed up for that and started watching it, I was like,
oh, no.
I regret my decision.
What have I done?
Why did I do this? So I'm going to let Andy go first.
Thank you. So before we start, I want everyone to take a guess. Before I say anything, what would you say was the Rotten Tomatoes freshness rating on Kazam? And I'll let you guess first also, Lisa.
Okay, the freshness for Kazam. Is it widely considered a good
or bad
movie?
I don't know. So here's the thing. Kazam is, I mean, so Rotten Tomatoes, if you know, the percentage meter or whatever, the tomato meter, is based on the percentage of people that think it's basically even worth seeing. Not even like that they're saying, oh, it's fucking great. They're just like, eh, it's worth watching.
Okay.
What did you say? What percentage?
39.
Okay. Everybody out there, have you picked a number in your head? Okay, good. The number is 6.
Oh.
6%. Now,
not 6 people, 6%.
Now, of course, you know, this is one of those ones where they didn't have a ton of reviews because of the fact that it's an older movie, but 6% out of 36 thought it was worth seeing at all, which is probably one person, and 20% audience score out of 40,000 ratings, 20% on there. So it's not great. And it was, so let's just start off with that in your head. Before we get into the plot, so if you think at any point I'm exaggerating or going a little over the top, just know that I'm not. This is just really what's going on in the movie. So first off, let's just start off right off the bat. So this movie is made by Touchstone Pictures. I saw that and immediately was like, I only know this because of The Nightmare Before Christmas, because that was also made by Touchstone. Because Touchstone is literally the brand where movies go to that Disney's like, I don't want to be associated with this movie. But we still want to put it on. Yeah. Like, we'll still put it on and pay for it, but we don't want it to be known as a Disney movie, right? So that is what Kazam was. It was a great shame, apparently, to the Disney Corporation as they stuck it off, they snuck it in the back room to Touchstone. So the movie starts out, the credits rolling in, while they're showing this really weird scene. It's just like this ominous wrecking ball swinging around with this random abandoned building, and they're kind of like your point of view, kind of moving through the building, like looking at all this other old stuff. I think it's in New York City. And suddenly, like after like all the credits have rolled off, then the wrecking ball hits the building and all this stuff starts falling in the building. And then you see this huge, like tall genie lamp fall down and shatters on the ground. And you hear Shaquille O'Neal yelling, that's the beginning of the movie before anything else. Step two. So the next step after that was showing that there was a kid involved in this movie that is immature as fuck, who likes to cause trouble, but also gets picked on. So he's like, he's trying to be the cool kid that like is like, oh, I'm just like, I don't care about anything. But he also has people who do want to beat the shit out of him constantly.
Okay.
And I think part of it, like here's the thing, Lisa, before I get too far into this, the thing is, during me explaining the plot to this movie, people might be like, I'm lost. Are you sure you're telling this right? And yes, I am. I'm telling it correct. It's just this movie was like, they had like probably introduced like 10 different possible side plots. They're like, I wonder if this is important. And you had to figure out by the end of it, which one of these side plots is going to be important. But the problem was that none of the stuff leading up to it really mattered at all until like, they're like, hey, we introduced a last second side plot. And it turns out that's the ultimate like antagonist and all this bad stuff. So if you don't hear anything early on that really matters, that's why, because they just kind of introduced it later on.
How weird.
Yeah, so basically they just rush immediately like into just giving all these facts, this intense backstory of why this kid is a spoiled piece of shit. Not like spoiled as in he has a lot of money, but basically is just like an angsty teen that fucking hates everything and sucks. Evidently his mom, surprise, is divorcing his dad, that he didn't even know, like, was around anymore. Because
that's
she's
the hottest 90s trend, by the way.
A divorce.
Like, we're divorcing.
Not a divorce. Yeah. So he's like, and then he's like, and I'm getting engaged to this guy who's like, the guy is like, they portray that this boyfriend of the mom is this super nice, like super cool, like firefighter guy that's like super nice to the kid, always a very good influence. But the kid's like, fuck you, I'm out, you piece of shit. And this kid's probably like 11 or something like that. Just dropping F-bombs all the time. Continue on. Kid is running away from bullies on the street, hides in an abandoned building, falls through four floors of a building, like goes. So not only does he come out alive, he basically is just like, oh man, that was a rough fall. Like, and that's it. Like, this kid falls through four stories of an abandoned building and is just like, this is fine. And the bad kids apparently know that he's still there, so he tries to hide under some debris. And while he's doing that, he accidentally bumps this old boombox that's in the debris with him. And it turns the boombox on, and it starts playing music and stuff, like old, like Egyptian music. And then the kids come down, like, we're going to fucking murder you. And then, surprise, Kazam comes out of the box, who is Shaquille O'Neal, a 7-foot-tall, large black man, who obviously... all the punk kids like run away from because they're like, oh my god, he's black, we gotta get out of here. We're secretly racist kids. So he
not
comes
so
out
secret.
And immediately starts talking to the kid in rhymes only rhymes, almost like he's trying to rap to this kid about who he is. So he's like, I am Kazam, you know I'm the man, like just instantly. Before
90s
like
talk rap.
I couldn't do it. So basically the kid's like, okay, this is a fucking crazy homeless person, which, I mean, he's not wrong. And Kazam is literally like, motherfucker, make a wish. And he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And finally he's like, okay, fine. Why don't you make me like a Jaguar XTS, blah, blah, blah. Like he just says that, like a black one. And he's like, okay, I got it. And then he like starts trying to cast it and nothing happens. Like, cause I guess he's out of work and he's out of shape or something like that. So he's trying to do it, but nothing happens. And then kid leaves. And so like, as the kid leaves, all of a sudden he turns the corner. Oh, there's all the kids. And then they beat the shit out of him. Whoops.
Oof.
Pepsi apparently must have sponsored this thing because they were all up in the fucking show. Like they were everywhere. Like usually they'll have like the occasional like subtle thing, but they're just like, here's a can of Pepsi with the Pepsi logo perfectly facing. Here's somebody
product
drinking a Pepsi,
baby.
Just everywhere.
Yep.
He ends up, I guess Max goes home and finds out like, sees the divorce papers and it has the address for where his dad can be found. On the divorce papers. Now, you're probably thinking, like, oh, if there are divorce papers, certainly it would have his home address, right? No, it has the address of this place where he works. So he ends up going to, like, this club, nightclub, basically, that apparently is, like, some kind of recording studio or something like that.
Okay.
And he finds his dad indirectly, and Kazam is following him around like a serial killer the whole time. And basically finds out his dad is a
7-foot-tall serial killer.
Yeah, he's just like following him all the time. And people are like, sir, I'm going to call the police on you. So he ends up finding his dad's a dickhead because like he's like, hey, who are you? And he's like, kid, get the fuck out of here. Like the guy didn't know who he was. The dad didn't know who he was. So dejected, Max heads home actually doesn't go home. He goes to a random abandoned building that apparently he had turned into his fucking hang pad. And I say that because, like, this building, like, it's just this abandoned building, like, in New York City. And apparently Max, this, like, 11-year-old, has built, like, essentially, like, a bike, like, thing that goes all around the building, like, that he can ride, like, up, like, ramps and stuff
oh,
like
awesome.
That. And he's got, like, this big, like, throne where he's got, like, lights on it and stuff like that. Because that's what happens when you're a poor, like, a pretty modestly poor kid in New York City. You just build entire like turn all abandoned places into that.
Yo, it was the 90s in New York, man.
Yeah,
it's a different time.
It's a different time.
So
when they're there, Kazam shows up and Kazam ends up doing something crazy on a bike where like his bike turns into a flying chariot and he's like, whoa, you really are a genie. So he's immediately like, oh, I know, I've got three wishes. And he's like, let's do something that will not benefit my life in any way. And so, like, out of three wishes, his first wish is, I want junk food from here to the sky. Those exact words. Junk food from here to the sky. And so, like, the most well-known scene, I would say, from this movie happens, which is, like, honestly, when I think of this movie, this is the scene I think of, which is just, like, burgers start falling from the sky, burritos, French fries, candy, pancakes, soda, of course, Pepsi, all kinds of shit just falls and lands, like, perfectly, like, all around, like, in this building, this abandoned building he has. And I'm like, cool, so now, like, he's just got this unlimited food, including half of, like, the first things to fall, which is crazy. The very first things to fall were, like, the cheeseburgers and the burritos, the things that were just splatting on the ground. And you're like, I'm not fucking eating that. Like, give me a layer of fucking candy first in packages. Like some
I want marshmallows. Okay, yeah. Let me reverse this. I want marshmallows first. The big ones, the smaller ones.
You didn't then specify burgers on the bottom, bitch.
Yeah.
So he immediately is like, you want to make this night? Because Zam's like, you want to make this night real fucking baller? Why don't you give me those two wishes? And Max is like, nah, bro, I'm good. So then the most problematic sentence in the entire entire movie is this. Max says, so wait, until I make those last two wishes, I own you, don't I? Which, if you think about a young, like, 11-year-old white boy saying that to a large black man, that's really problematic in that movie.
Yeah.
So, and he's like, yes, you're right. And yeah, so he basically, but essentially, Kazam basically starts being a dick to the kid for a while. Because he fucking deserved it. Kazam then shows up to his dad's work, and some guy is DJing, which is literally, he's just standing at, like, this thing playing music. Kazam goes up there and just, like, turns the music on and dances, and then somebody's like, you got a fucking talent for this, man. He didn't do anything. Like, there was no talent in what he did. He just turned on the thing at the DJ thing and then just, like, was dancing, like, and nothing else. And the guy's like, you should be in this fucking business, my dude.
Did you know that's all it takes to be a DJ?
You just have to do nothing. Like, he wasn't scratching records or anything. He was just doing that.
One button.
Yeah.
Volume dial.
One button. I'm in. Yeah. So then Max officially meets his dad after he tells him to fuck off, like, multiple times. He's like, my name's Max Coleman, or whatever the fuck his last name was. And he's like, wait, this is my fucking son. This kid fucking rules. And then Max immediately is like, my dad fucking rules. Like, immediately. Like, he's like, yeah, he told me to fuck off at least 7 times before this. But now that he knows he's my son, I'm his son. Now he's, like, all about it. Max continues to play the victim with his mom and her boyfriend. He's like, I met my dad. And, of course, they don't want to say, hey, I left him because he's a vile, despicable fuckface. Because they don't want to be mean. Because that's always what happens in movies is, like, oh, I just wanted to be nice and say, things just didn't work out, you know, rather than saying he's a total piece of shit and he should fucking burn in hell. Let's see. So Max and Kazam end up going to this all-access concert. He got some backstage passes. DeBrat is performing. DeBrat is performing.
Like DeBrat.
So they're really so excited.
Where did this come out?
96. It's a big year. So DeBrat is up there, and she sees Shaq out in the thing. It's like, hey, bring that big fucking hunk of meat out here. So he ends up coming up and doing magic shit with his boombox, and everybody's like, holy shit, this guy's fucking amazing. He needs to be, like, a rapper. So, like, they end up, like, being like, you're going to perform for us next time. Like, I don't know. It's just none of this made sense. There was just this random fucking series of events. Anyways, the next day, like, a bunch of stuff happened between them. I'm not going to go into it, but the kid wakes up. Shaq's in his pajamas and has his hand on the kid's face. They're both in bed together, which, again, like, just, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, they're in bed together in the same bed. Like, Shaq's really big, and this boy is very small. Kazam is told that he smells really bad. Max smells him and says, you smell like a hippopotamus butt.
Oh,
so Kazam immediately starts showering in the middle of his room. Which, this thing, without saying anything else, I you know, I'm only going to bring up the problematic thing. So he immediately, like, a magical shower appears around him with, like, a little, like, thing that goes around his butt and, like, his lower torso as he's cleaning himself. So let's see. So now, if you're wondering, Lisa, which I know you were, and listeners, I know you're wondering this, did Kazam and Max, the 11-year-old, ever have a rap musical song together? Yes, they did.
I've been dying to know.
They did have a musical song together where they both rapped at the same time together.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
And if you're concerned during that process, if they had many costume changes, yes, they did. They had a fuck ton of costume changes in this one thing because they're like, if there's one thing that's going to really pay off on this fucking flick, it's going to be the fucking group rap song that they do together.
Yep.
So we got to make sure it counts. Yikes. With these fucking music, with these costume changes.
The 90s yeah. were the worst. The worst.
Yeah. And this is the part that I mentioned earlier about like the side plot thing. There's a whole side plot that felt really unimportant the whole time. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, oh, hey, this guy Malik, he's a bad guy. And he's the super bad guy that eventually figures out Shaq is a genie and is going to kill Max's dad if Max doesn't use his third wish for him. Whoops.
Oh, my gosh.
Surprise. We just forgot to mention the main plot was this very small side thing that you probably didn't realize was important until it was too late.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Surprise.
Dad murdered.
So Kazam at some point, like Malik is like yelling at him and he ends up pushing him down a fucking like elevator shaft.
Okay.
And then like Kazam comes to the rescue, but he doesn't know where Max is. He just talks to Malik and like Malik has all these like bodyguards with him, and Shaq ends up going fucking feral and just beating the piss out of all these guys. And then, of course, the one reference to basketball that they had to make at some point was Kazam, in his rage, turned Malik into a giant flesh basketball and dunks him into the vent shaft.
No.
Like, it was this horrible cartoon, almost like CGI borderline thing, where it's like, he just goes, and then just dunks him like he was in fucking Space Jam, and then dunks him into this ventilation shaft. The end.
Oh, Jack watched Space Jam with the kids yesterday and came in and started talking to me about it. Like, do you remember the intro? I was like, bitch, do I remember the intro?
I covered this recently.
Also, I don't remember the intro. Can you remind me?
Sorry. But I do want to say that basically the rest of this movie didn't matter until this moment. Like, this was the only moment that mattered, was him fucking dunking a basketball. You're like, see, this is a thing you do. This is a thing that you do correctly. So anyways, Kazam goes down, sees the kid, and he thinks he's dead. He's like, oh no, this is Max, you're my only friend. I can't believe you're dead now. Which apparently a magic genie has many, many powers. One of them is not telling when someone is unconscious and not dead. So evidently
they're kind of dumb. Low IQ.
And then Max wakes up and he's fine. Like he's just like, oh. And Kazam's
like, did you ever check to see if he was breathing? It's very easy. Watch the chest, put a hand under the nostrils.
There's no reason
anything.
To think he was dead. So Max wakes up and they have like a slight conversation. Just like only for like a minute, and all of a sudden, like Kazam's like, "Oh, what's happening?" Like this magical process is happening, and Kazam is being turned into dust. And he's like, "What's happening?" He's like, "It must have been the wish you made before. You wished to have your dad like have a new fresh start. That was a selfless wish. So now I'm turning into a djinn, and he's free."
A what?
A djinn, a D-J-I-N-N, which apparently is like a free genie or whatever, at least according to the mythos of this. So he basically is freed out of nowhere based on a wish that he had made probably in real time over an hour ago. He now gets freed for, and it was nothing. Like, just all of a sudden they have what's the thing with Dorothy,
The Wizard of Oz?
Wizard of Oz, with the big head, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Shaq's head turns into this big thing, and he's like, always remember you, like that kind of thing.
Maybe there was a delay because there was, like, paperwork that had to be
They had to get the processed. Paperwork through. They're like, listen, we have to resolve some plot points. Malik needs to get turned into a basketball, so, like, we gotta get through all that before we can free him. Max ends up getting rescued by his mom's boyfriend, who was established as part of the fire department, so that actually made sense. Max's dad did get a second chance. He even said, he walked up to Max afterwards, like, you know that friend of yours earlier? He said, I got a second chance. And nobody really knows what that means. He just did, apparently. So, like, they're like, he got a second chance. Nobody knows what that means or what that's going to mean, but all of a sudden the police come and say, hey, sir, we need to talk to you. So, I don't know. Apparently he got a second chance, though.
What?
We don't need to know. We don't need to know. His dad got a second chance. Lisa, just you need to accept that he got a second chance. We'll never know what that second chance was or what it did, but apparently it was good. Evidently, Kazam got freed because all of a sudden at the end, you see Kazam walking in like street clothes with like a white t-shirt on, who's talking to this attractive woman. And she's like, he's like, I'm free now. And she's like, good. Now that you're free, you can get a fucking job. Like literally, literally what she said to him is you can get a job now. And he's like, I haven't had a job in 5,000 years. And she's like, well, you got to better start, no better time to start than now. And that's the end of the movie.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Okay. I am so thankful that your movie made as little sense as mine did. Because I was like, I picked the wrong movie. There's no plot. There's nothing happening here.
Wrong.
And yours was, yours at least had some kind of plot.
It was just a lot. It was too much plot with not enough delivery on any of those plot points. They're like, we need to have, we need, like, if we're going to get through this movie, we have to fucking rush. Okay, let's go. Like, we got 47 plot points and we got to get through all of them. So, awards that this film won. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You're probably saying, how did this possibly win awards? This was the thing I had to send myself because it was too important. This won two awards in 1996 by the Stinkers Bad Movie Awards. Which apparently was a real thing. That's Stinker.
So, they shouldn't have awards like that. Yeah. That's so mean.
This is the worst part, too. Both of them were for the fucking kid, not for Shaq.
They were shitting on the Francis, kid actor?
Francis Capra, who apparently is the name of the kid who played this, he won. He was Stinker Award nominee for Worst Supporting Actor, Francis Capra.
You can't do that to
fucking
a kid.
Rough. And then a Stinker Award nominee, Worst On-Screen Hairstyle, which if you, you if you ever get a chance to look, it's just like this fucking wild mane of just hair, was also Francis Capra. So I cannot believe that they were willing to put that kind of heat on a fucking child for this movie. Last point before we end. Movie was released July 17th, 1996. That's probably why I saw it, was because it came out 2 days after my birthday, so it was probably a birthday type of movie. It grossed $19 million. Which you're like, I don't know if that's a lot or little. And it had a $20 million budget.
Oh.
So, bum, bum, ba-dum, wow, it lost a million. So, maybe it made some extra through Pepsi. Who knows?
Hopefully.
Pepsi hopefully lifted
you know,
them
and,
up.
And, of course, you know the story about this in current modern-day culture that, I don't know what it's called, but it's when basically a big wave of people all remember something incorrectly.
You might say it. It is the
Mandela effect.
Mandela effect, which is the movie is part of a false memory phenomenon. According to many people, there was a movie named Shazam, which is not what it's called. It's Kazam. So people all believed it was called Shazam, starring Sinbad as the genie. And the false memory was probably caused by a mix-up with the film and the costume Sinbad wore in 1984 when he hosted a TV broadcast of Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. I don't know. But yeah, apparently, because I'll tell you what, like, if it weren't for the fact that the movie, a recent Shazam came out, I might still have said, like, the only reason I remember for sure it's Kazam, like, every time I look now is because I know, oh, it's not named the same thing as that new movie. So I know it's Kazam, not Shazam. But yeah, it's crazy.
There's a new movie called Shazam?
Yeah, it's actually a pretty good movie. It was reviewed pretty well, too. Yep, it's owned by, it's DC, DC Comics. Anyways, moving on.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for Kazam.
That's more time than that fucking movie deserved.
Probably. But it was Shaq. It was the 90s. And it was a bad movie. And all
Shaq
those things
did
together.
Get to dunk a basketball. And that's all that mattered.
Listen. Spice World. Released in 1997. So a year later. And it was meant to follow in the vein of A Hard Day's Night from the Beatles. And I would say about a minute and 45 seconds into watching this movie, I thought to myself, fuck, I hate this so much already. Like, I even wrote that down. I was like, I was taking notes. I was like, I'm ready to watch this. It's been, you know, what, 20-something years since I saw this. And I was like, this needs to go back to bed. I do not like this. And Also, wow, it's weird how like crazy obsessed the whole world was with British, like a British girl band. Like, it's if you really think about it, the U.S.'s obsession with this British girl band is kind of crazy to look at in hindsight.
Yeah.
And we were all about Brits in the 90s. It was super cute. But all right, so the movie
I think people really liked the fact that it was very easy to remember their names.
They did make it easy.
Baby. We've done so many Baby Spice references.
No, no more Emma shit. No, never. Okay, maybe a little bit. The movie opens. They're performing at Top of the Pops, which is a totally British thing and so Brit. And then they get on their tour bus. And what I wrote down, which was interesting, is like the tour bus is, of course, the Union Jack symbol. Huge double-decker tour bus. And when they get in, it's a tour bus. But when they go inside the tour bus, it's like walking into a house. It's like, I don't know, 1,000 square feet wide. It's like, bitch, that's not a bus. That's just a set.
It's like a TARDIS. You're
not even trying. I'm sure a lot of this was supposed to be cute little jokes. But it's like, this isn't even... I hate this. So, this has like one of the loosest ideas for a plot this movie had. Like, there... It's essentially just watching the girls sing in different places and having some other stuff happen sort of in the background. So some of the other things going on is that there are some dudes who are filming them as part of a documentary about the band. And then there are other two guys who are after them after the girls' manager to try to feature them in like a Hollywood film of theirs.
Oh.
And at the same time, a newspaper editor has dispatched some kind of secret photographer to record the girls and relay any like, yes,
okay,
only pee shots. He gets under the toilet seat camera shots to get like, oh, that's Sporty Spice. All
right. That's Sporty Spice. You can recognize it from her stream. She splits right down the middle.
What was Ginger? Ginger Spice, right?
Ginger Spice.
Ginger Spice, okay.
Oh, no.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, see the joke. You know what I get the joke now.
You get it now. So so the editor has this guy taking pictures of them so he can get some like damning information about them in order to ruin their reputation. So there are three things happening right there. So your movie, there are a lot of correlations here, right? Your movie had some random shit going on. And this one was like, it's mostly just the girls running around doing shit. But then there's the Hollywood guys, the documentary guys, and then the photographer guy. It's a lot. And then also at the same time, it's nothing at all. So they are starting to perform Say You Will Be There. And I made a note that literally Sporty Spice couldn't do much. Like, she couldn't go very long without just doing like a random huge ass kick. Like, I'm so sporty. Look at that. It's like, sit down, bitch. Sit down. I hate it. And so where did I write about this? I don't think I put this in the notes in the right spot, but essentially this whole time they're talking to their friend Nicola, I think that's her name, who's just super pregnant and overdue any moment, and her boyfriend or husband just left her, but she's like totally happy. She's like, I'm about to have this baby, whatever. And they're like, we love you. And she's like, I would love to see you guys. And sorry, I just thought I heard something. Maybe it was the cats. They're like, yeah, we'd love to sit and hang out with you. And then the managers are like, you have to go perform. And so there's just always this pregnant Asian girl like on the sidelines of the movie.
Aww.
And it's just so random. And so they're traveling everywhere, performing everywhere. And apparently their bus driver is Meatloaf.
Yes.
You knew this?
I knew this, of all things. Yes, this is like one of the few things I remember.
Oh, I saw him. I was like, that's Meatloaf. And then he said that I will not do that. And I was like, that's Meatloaf. That's definitely him. So again, like, they're just trying to spend some time with their very pregnant friend.
I will go drive your bus right now.
But I won't
have sex.
But I won't be an integral part of you. This plot.
Okay, continue.
I think if anyone would have had sex with Meatloaf in this movie, it would have been way more interesting than it was. So much more interesting. So go ahead.
Nothing. I just like, it sounds so far like it's just literally like, they're like, hey, you guys like the Spice Girls, right? What if we kind of like made a movie that is literally its only purpose is so that you can be like, hey, that's the Spice Girls. That's the people that I like. And like,
that's
just them doing just completely normal things. Like nothing cool.
It. Okay. That's all that happens. So, I mean, but it's wacky, right? Because it's these Spice Girls and they never shut the fuck up. And mm-hmm. they're always talking about their, you know, astrological signs and shit. And it's just like, I hate the 90s so much. This is a very weird time in the 90s. So they just want to spend some time with their very pregnant friend and they can't do it. And then they're on their tour bus and it breaks down because the toilets aren't working. So they get off to go pee in the woods mm-hmm. and some aliens land in the woods. And one of them grabs Sporty Spice's boob or maybe Scary Spice's boob.
What?
And then has Posh Spice, happened? Which is Victoria, sign one of the alien stomachs. And it's,
no.
Yes, this happened.
Lisa. I'm going to need you to back the fuck up. You so casually brought up the fact that aliens landed, copped a feel, and then got a fucking signature on their stomach. Are you telling me that is what happened in this film?
Spice World.
Okay. Continue. World. Go ahead. I just this needed is Spice to make World. Sure.
Andy, I was like rolling around, not feeling so good. The kids are making me crazy. I was watching this movie. I was like, I don't know if I'm having a fever dream or if I'm watching Spice World. It's like, we'll find out on the other side. Wouldn't it be great
if the episode got released and then everybody is commenting, they're like, that is not the plot to Spice World. That's not what happened. What the fuck were you doing? Like, what did you watch?
That was an episode of Liquid Television. That was not Spice World. Someone call her doctor. Okay. So, like, they want to take a day off to take a breather to be with their friends, especially after seeing the aliens. Or like, they're like, I got assaulted groped. By an alien.
Yeah,
I got assaulted by an alien, and they were like, no, you can't take a day off, and in fact, you the most can't take a day off. Now you have to get into a dance army like boot camp with some kind of British military dance man. And they're all in fatigues and doing like, we all sported. Yes, we're Spice. We all sported. Fun, fun, fun. And then, you know.
This is Posh nothing. Spice is in. This is nothing.
It's not, I'm telling you, it's nothing. It's
what
just,
is this?
It's just a series of things that include the Spice Girls and then nothing happens.
Just like and literally so, like guys in a room saying like, we need to get them looking sexy in fucking uniforms. Okay.
Yes, and they were. And then
Victoria is there a way to effortlessly get in there? They're like, no, there's no effortless way to do this. We just have to just say fuck it and just make them into that for no reason.
Yeah. Like, we just show off how wacky they are. We're going to get Ginger. She's going to be loud. Sporty Spice is going to be very, very loud. And Victoria's Baby Spice is going to spoil at someone, get her way out of some shit.
Oh, don't and mind then, me.
I hate it. Ugh. It's terrible. So they, would you say, I'll lick your butthole?
I said, I lick your butthole, I will.
Oof. That would have been a better
Here's movie. The thing. I would have liked you to keep going, but at the same time, I was like, I hope that everyone else didn't hear that, and then you kept going, and everybody's like, wait, what the fuck did he say?
Nope, never, never. So they're in this military thing. It's cute. That's the only montage I would say was worth watching-ish. And then they take a break. Or excuse me, they're not able to take a break, and then they get really pissed off, and they break up, and they're like, I'm doing whatever the fuck I want. And then they get back together like 6 minutes later in the movie.
Oh.
And then they go clubbing with a pregnant friend who goes into labor on the dance floor like everybody does. And
what are you bringing your pregnant friend to the club for?
That's so irresponsible. She's fucking 41 and a half weeks pregnant. It's like a DD? Pregnant. I don't know. Okay. They're just... they're just like, come fucking club with us. We're gonna take Molly, and you're gonna have a baby. We're gonna see how this goes. And
we might kill your baby during the process because we might think we'll have acid flashbacks to that alien episode we had before.
Exactly. So the girls' tour bus drives their friend to labor and delivery, and she has a baby girl. And then the photographer. Is, you know, the one who's been chasing them to get dirt on them is actually the delivery doctor, and he's taking pictures and they chase him and that's over. And then if that wasn't buck wild enough, it gets wilder.
Okay.
Meatloaf, the bus driver, is missing. So Victoria takes the giant double-decker tour bus and drives the bus all around London very recklessly and like jumps a gap on the Tower Bridge and then lands safely on the other side. But the montage is just like, a toy bus on a toy bridge. It's meant to be cute, but I was sure. Like, okay. And then only discover that there's a trapdoor in the floor of the bus and there's a bomb underneath the bus and then Emma slams the door and nothing happens. I know, Andy, I know. I know. This is why I'm drinking. It's not because of everything happening in the outside world. It's
the
because
bus
I'm
driver's missing.
Meatloaf is gone. Someone ate Meatloaf.
She did a fucking stunt over a bridge. And then, for no reason, there's a trapdoor in the bus and there's a bomb in it.
Yes.
Okay, continue.
And so, apparently, this is all, like, being narrated by the guys who are trying to do the Hollywood film with them. He's explained to the manager, like, what he would do with them in their film or something like that. And then they make it to their performance at Royal Albert Hall and nothing matters. And that's what? The movie. That's the movie.
Wait, so none of that... Basically, this movie was about them going to a show.
And like, their wacky, zany...
And everything in between, they're just like... I mean, whatever happens in between there is fucking irrelevant, but we do need to... This movie does need to be more than 20 minutes long, so we gotta make some bullshit up.
They buffed it out to an hour and a half.
That's too much.
You could have done it in 26 minutes.
Yeah. Like, that should have been, like, the one of the awards that they got from that bad movie thing or whatever. It's like, movie that should have been 26 minutes long. The Spice Girls, only candidate. Congratulations. You win.
Yeah, Spice World. It's... And also what I loved about watching Spice World was being like, oh, right, Jerry, Ginger Spice, was like a solid 8 years or so older than the other girls. I forgot how much older she was. She was way older than the rest.
Really?
She just had this like, I've been around the block. I've been around that block.
I've been around the block. You guys only have me because you needed someone with red hair. She's red-haired,
you
right?
You guys needed someone who could... She is red-haired, and they needed someone who had, like, a proper over-21 ID in order to get them into pubs.
That's the only reason they kept her around. Can I tell you something? Yeah. Like, of all the Spices, she is the one that, like, if you put a gun to my head, I would probably say there were four Spice Girls and not name her.
Yep.
Like, Mil-C. I could not for the life of you say Ginger Spice. Like, I would not have known that unless I was looking at the cast right now.
Victoria... Or there's Posh Spice, Sporty Spice, Scary Spice, Ginger Spice, Baby Spice.
Yeah, Emma, I know. Posh, Scary, Mel-C, Baby, Mel-B, Sporty, sure. Anyways.
Victoria, Jerry. I hate this. I hate this knowledge. Also, Melanie. There were two Mels. It's crazy that Melanie was a big enough name to have two Spice Girls.
Yeah, Melanie Brown and Melanie Chisholm.
Chisholm. That's Spice World. Listen, erase it from your memory. Nothing about that movie
is ever
worth
Yeah, we're pulling out the Men in Black flashing device. Just look into this.
That's right. So that is Spice World. I'm done. Let us never speak of that movie again.
Yeah.
My gosh.
Like, Lisa, I know, like, here's the thing. So, like, I want everyone to know that, like, the decision to do these movies this weekend, it was literally, like, I messaged Lisa because we had, like, we'd been working on, like, our Y2 Court thing so long. And just, like, things have kind of been thrown off, you know, with the past few weeks. I'm glad we did this because this was actually really fun. But, like, I was, like, we needed, like, in order to have enough time to do our research because we basically decided on this, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
We were, like, we need to do something. And I'm, like, let's just do a couple movies. Let's do bad movies. Those are easy to do. So we can just get something good out. And so, like, yeah. So that's why you got... just real bangers of movies. The crazy thing is, Lisa, before you started, my immediate reaction when I went on the Wikipedia page, because I've been following along, was the goddamn box office. I cannot believe how much money this fucking movie made. Yeah.
I remember 25
mil. So, like, this is one of those things where I know Kazam's about to get destroyed. But like,
oh, wait, I thought I read 151.
It's 151 million box office.
Okay.
And a budget of $25 million, and apparently they also made a shitload more on DVDs too. So, because people said one time was not enough, I need to be able to watch this all the time. Those fucking alien scene cracks me up. It's so good. It makes sense.
When he grabs Sporty Spice's boob.
Remember that part when Sporty Spice gets her boob grabbed? Like, I was like, man, I wish I could be that alien. Anyways.
Jesus.
The end.
The end.
The end of everything.
I cannot talk about it anymore. It was so bad.
90s Court is canceled. Sorry. 90s is canceled. Lisa, why don't I go ahead? I'll take y'all
Please.
Out since you. I know you're recovering. So, thanks again, everybody, for tuning in to episode 30 of 90s Court. Where to find us? You know, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, particularly if you'd like to vote on this fucking like abysmal showing of movies.
Yes.
On Facebook and Twitter at 90s Court. Check us out on Instagram at 90s.court. As of course, as I mentioned before, we have now several episodes on Patreon for our Patreon members. Patreon.com/90sCourt.
And oh, by the way, if you, I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but if you don't follow Y2Court or didn't see any of that stuff, My Chemical Romance versus Fallout Boy.
Yeah.
That's what episode 4 was.
We're going down, down, and around. You didn't get to hear me singing like I did on that as much. So.
And I sang. I sang My Chemical Romance,
and Lisa
too.
Sang, too. It was really great. So, and also, as always, leave us a dope review on iTunes or Stitcher. It means a lot to us. You can also check us out on Podchaser if you happen to subscribe to that. So anyways, that was the episode. I hope you guys all enjoyed it. Lisa, you got any parting remarks before we depart?
People of the world, spice up your life.
People of the world,
spice
everybody,
up your life.
Africa.
Everybody, spice up your life.
All right, all gang. I love you all. Need
stay
y'all. Stay safe.
Be
good to
we
each
love
other.
You.
Peace out. Stay rad.
Adios, dudes. Bye.